So, yes, thank you. I remember this more of a testimony. I remember the first time we spoke, he said, and I quote, "I see that you can preach." He didn't know anything about me. Of course, I preached in my previous church. He didn't know. He said, "I see you can preach." And I was surprised. Yeah, and the rest is history here. So I thank God for his life and how far he has brought him. Last week, I was reading online the testimonies and everything everybody was saying about Pastor. Of course, I agree. And we pray for him every day that God give him the age of Methuselah so that he stays with us and teach us. Amen. We thank God for yet another Sunday. It's always a great privilege to be in front of you. I've shared with you different sermons, and today is no different from the other sermons that I've shared with you. If you watch and listen to everything that the great men of God have been standing here to talk about, it's in line to God's salvation. Just pay attention, listen, pay attention to every sermon that pastor talk about. I believe that in today's dispensation, we need more of topics regarding salvation. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and others will be added unto you." So these days, I see myself preparing for God's kingdom and my share of the mansions, because I believe my soul is more important to me than the car that I ride, the job that I do, my bank account. I believe my salvation, because irrespective of all that I have, if I miss God's kingdom, I will cry. Amen. So today, I'm going to talk to you about something very important. I'm going to be all over the place. In fact, I'm not going to follow anything I've written. I'm going to be all over the place. Today, we're going to look at something from the Songs of Solomon. It's part of the biblical canon. And sometimes, if you are not careful, you interpret it wrongly. So many preachers, if pastor will agree, actually do not most of the time preach from the Songs of Solomon. Amen. Yes. Amen. So it's more of a romantic theme. But if you look into the Songs of Solomon, it's talking about relationship or marriage. You understand? And sometimes it's talking about our relationship with God. So the Songs of Solomon carries a lot. Today's sermon, I've named it "The Little Foxes in My Vineyard." Amen. Amen. I'm a little dramatic with my sermon titles. But yeah, "The Little Foxes in My Vineyard." And I go on to say, "Protecting the vineyard God planted in you." Amen. So we are all going to read together like always. Amen. So let's go. "Catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyard." Are we here?
Yes.
We are going to start again. Ready? Go.
"Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom."
Amen. Last time, let's go.
"Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom."
I'm very sorry, but someone is not reading. I can hear the silence from you. One last time, if you're not reading, I'm going to call you alone to stand up and read. Amen. So everybody is going to read. Let's go.
"Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom."
Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruins the vineyard, our vineyard that are in bloom. Amen.
Amen.
Is that not beautiful? catch for us the little foxes. Catch them so that they do not ruin the vineyard that are in bloom. Amen. You see, the Bible talks about vineyard when it's talking about relationship. When we look at John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine. Amen. I am the true vine. So vine, it grows, it takes its time, it's very tender. But the foxes, they sneak in off the fence and destroys the vineyard. Are you following me? You see, the foxes are the little saints. Amen. The foxes are the little habits of sins. They are the unchecked emotions. Amen. So I'm describing the foxes. These foxes are the hidden habits that each one of us are having. And these foxes are destroying our vineyard that are in bloom. Amen. Amen. So today, this particular sermon, I can preach every Sunday of the year. I will take one fox and talk to you about it. So today, I'm going to talk to you about one fox called the fox of anger, the fox of bitterness. That's what we're going to talk about today. And today, I have assessed myself as always. I've sat down for the past 1 month and I've asked myself, what fox is destroying my vineyard? And I've analyzed myself and I've prayed. And I've come to terms with myself. In fact, I have forgiven myself and I have forgiven others who have sinned against me because I will not allow them to destroy my vineyard. So I protect my vineyard against these foxes. These foxes that can ruin my marriage. These foxes that can destroy my relationship with my neighbor. In fact, these foxes that can destroy the unity in the church. So today, we are going to listen and arrest every little fox in our vineyard. But before we move forward, you see, I'm taking my time because it's very important to me. I want us to look at something like always, psychology. We're going to look at cognitive appraisal theory of emotion, which was coined in 1984 by a man called Richard Lazarus. He said, anger arises not simply from events, but from how we interpret or appraise them. Amen. So according to him, emotion comes out of our evaluation of certain events. It comes as a result of our interpretation of events, how we interpret conversations or our relationship with others. Are we here? So today, I'm going to talk to you about one particular person. I'm going to rush and I'm going to slow down so that we pick the pace. This particular person was somebody I've heard over the years. And whenever I hear of him, it's never about anything good. Ahithophel was one of the greatest people in the Bible. But whenever we hear of Ahithophel these days, it's in the form of a prayer, those who prayed spiritual warfare. He said, let Ahithophel's counsel turn into foolishness. Let my adversaries, the devil's plans in my life, be like Ahithophel. That's the only time we know about Ahithophel. But let me tell you about this man, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was one of the greatest people in the Bible. You see, I took my time and I studied Ahithophel. I really took my time to understand who Ahithophel was. Ahithophel was one of the counselors for David. He wasn't just any man. He was someone who advised David. David had two arsenals. He had God so many times that David sat down and prayed a prayer of inquiry. He was a man after God's own heart. At the end of the day, I pray for you that we all become people of God's own heart. Amen. Amen. And aside the prayer of inquiry and asking God, he had great men around him. He had captains and princes and people who advised him on what to do, the art of war. Ahithophel was part of these people. Ahithophel advised David, do this, David, do this, David, do this, David. And David listened to Ahithophel. But it gets better. Let me tell you about something that David did. I told you about the other day. David had fought all the battles. He was standing on his balcony and he saw a lady, beautiful lady, bathing. And he sent them to go and call her. And we will take that from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 13. He inquired about that lady. You see, the Bible does not create or talk explicitly about who Bathsheba was to Ahithophel. But when you connect the dots, Eliam was Ahithophel's son. And Bathsheba was Eliam's father. So Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. Are we here? Are we here? Amen. So David called Bathsheba and slept with her. And look at the loss of Moses. To sleep with another man's wife is a grave sin. The pain got into the heart of Ahithophel because David has slept with his granddaughter and killed Uriah, the wife of Bathsheba. Just follow this story. And that caused a big estrangement between David and Ahithophel. Now, Absalom started a rebellion. Ahithophel then moved to Absalom's side and started advising Absalom. Do we know the story? Are we here?
Yes.
So I just want you to understand how these foxes can destroy great people like Ahithophel. In fact, David prayed and said, oh Lord, let the counsel of Ahithophel be what? Are we here? Be what? So that's what happened. Now, a great man as Ahithophel gave Absalom an advice. And he said, sleep with all your father's concubine. But let me take you back. The Bible talks about Ahithophel in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. It says, Ahithophel's counsel was esteemed as though it was the oracle of God. How many people did the Bible say this about? When the man speaks, it was as if his counsel was of the oracle of God. But look at this same man giving Absalom an advice that sleep with all your father's counsel. Your father's concubines. Is that the oracle of God? I just want you to understand. There was a resentment against David in the heart of Ahithophel that he did not confront. He could not forgive. There are people sitting in the house of God and they are praying every day, but they have bitterness in their hearts. There's just one sin that they cannot forgive. hence destroying their vineyards.
Hallelujah.
You see, Absalom did not listen to one advice that Ahithophel gave. And Ahithophel saw that his counsel was no more regarded. He went home and put his house in order and killed himself. It saddened my heart when I read this about Ahithophel. In fact, it almost made me cry. How come this great man of valor had fallen? Because he did not forgive. Marriages have come to ruin because a wife could not forgive the husband. Vice versa. Church is being destroyed because people are sitting in churches and harboring bitterness in their hearts. A pastor once said to me, he said, a lady stopped coming to his church. And he saw the lady about 4 months and said, sister, why have you not been coming to church? He said, pastor, last time you were greeting people, you did not greet me. I'm telling you, it happened. She had that bitterness in her heart that she left the church. The pettiness of human endeavor is killing us. Is destroying our relationship with God and causing us heaven.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you this morning, there is no conversation, there is no human encounter that will cause me to miss heaven. I do not downplay your hurt. I do not downplay the things that people have done in your life. I do not downplay the pain that you are going through. But I'm telling you, that pain that you are going through should not make you miss God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ahithophel could not forgive, and he killed himself. So today I speak to the Church of Christ that for the sake of your salvation, for the sake of your relationship with God,
hallelujah,
let it go. Let it go. You have that choice. Call that person who have hurt you. Brother, I forgive you. Because of my relationship with God, I forgive you. People are holding grudges as back as 30 years. People have not even seen their mother's face for the past 30 years. They are not talking to their parents. You see, some Christians these days cannot even hear the voice of God because their pain is so louder than the voice of God. The saddest thing is for you to pray and not get response from God because your pain is echoing. In fact, forgive. The little foxes in our vineyard. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Let's get this clear. Anger is not a sin. Do we agree? I used to think otherwise. Anger is not a sin. It's a human emotion. But if left unchecked, it develops into bitterness. In your sin, in your anger, do not sin. You understand? Jesus Christ was angry. He whipped them. I saw it, and I always feel he should beat them again. He whipped them for this, the desecration of his father's temple. He got angry. But in your anger, do not sin. In my days as a probation officer, was this man in prison who got so angry because the wife cheated and cut the wife into pieces. It's a true story. In his anger, he sinned. Are we here?
Yeah.
So some Christians have become religiously incontinent because of the little foxes in their vineyard. So we should check our emotions every day. This is a very short sermon. I'm almost done, trust me. A true story are two brothers who were inseparable, who loved each other, did everything together. In fact, they bought a piece of land and they built houses beside each other. But a little argument caused them to become estranged. They stopped talking, birthdays missed, wedding anniversaries missed. They could not see each other. One brother got sick, and on his dying bed, whispered his brother's name. So they called the brother. He ran, sweat on his eyebrow. He ran just to get that final moment with his brother. He came and the brother was dead. Anger has caused them 30 years of unresolved matter. You're going to have an issue with me. I'm going to have an issue with you. But tomorrow, I'm not going to be there. That unresolved issue has caused our relationship. I'm asking the body of Christ this morning that we should forgive. We should learn to let go.
Hallelujah.
We should learn to let go.
Amen.
In fact, repeat after me, I will let go.
I will let go.
And do not just say it, let go. It's easy to say it, let go. I told you I'm going to be all over the place. Today is just a conversation. I'm not really preaching. I'm just creating an awareness of the things that can separate us from God. And Paul says, what can separate me from my God? Not even death. Because he knew that he had a clean heart. And not even anger could cause him God's love. I remember back in the days when I was yet to really fully understand God, someone said I did something which I knew in my heart I didn't do. I was so angry. I spent days praying and cursing that person. That was how angry I was. I cursed the person. I was praying, God, punish the person. But judgment is not mine. Judgment is not yours. How dare we? How dare we think that we can cast judgment and aspersion on people? Of all the sins that we commit, the known and unknown that we commit, he chooses to forgive you. And that one sin you cannot forgive, how dare you? How dare you? That man owed the master. And the master said, I've forgiven you. He went outside and saw someone who owed him and strangled him. He could not forgive. But look at where we were. At the expense of our salvation, and he died such a disgraceful death. And we cannot forgive. Forgive. Amen. And in fact, when you forgive, forget.
Amen.
Don't just forgive. When you forgive, someone will start forgiving him, but I will never forget. How dare you? Sometimes you'll be in the house and your wife will say something, you get angry that 1 week you still be angry. But tomorrow, it's not promised.
Yes.
You'll be in the same house, she will not wake up the next morning. So because tomorrow is not promised, I want to forgive people.
Hallelujah.
See, I keep on repeating the same words because it's very important. Where the blacksmith hates a lot, that place is very important to him. So go out there and forgive and be mindful of your relationship with others. Today's sermon is very short, but yet powerful. After today's sermon, start looking at people differently.
Amen.
Look at it from this point of view. Because of my salvation and because of heaven and my many mansions, I forgive you.
Amen.
So when you do not forgive, you can pray and speak in tongues all you want. You'll be like the lion who was raised in the zoo and still think he's still the king of the jungle. You are not. You think yourself as powerful, speaking tongues and prophesy. But I'm telling you, God sees you different. We call God to reside in our hearts, but God does not reside in bitterness. God is love. So the moment that you leave the confines of the divine, he leaves you.
Amen. Amen.
So don't tell me you know love. Show me love. Love is the absence of self. Love is not bitterness. Love does not know bitterness. Love embraces. Love forgives. Love sees. And love receives. We should open our hearts to receive. That's the essence of Christ. So a group of people started behaving in a particular way, and we call them Christians. But for you to be a Christian, you must reside in the perimeter of love.
Hallelujah.
Forgiveness. Amen. To catching the foxes. God's way of dealing with anger. We should confess and name the fox. It's not just anger. Jealousy. There are so many foxes. My fox is different from your fox. So today when you go home, search for your fox. Arrest your fox and take the fox out of the vineyard. Because the integrity of the vineyard is worth more than gold. So sit down, weep and cry and pray. And pray and ask God to forgive you for you allowing that fox into your vineyard. I did not put that fox in your vineyard just like you didn't put that fox in mine. We allow these foxes in our vineyard, so we must pray and fast and ask God, God, this bitterness. You see, for my peace of mind, I want to forgive. Sometimes you'll be driving, especially back home in Ghana. People drive like... You'll be driving, someone will just cut in front of you, and you'll be like, ah. I guess it's everywhere. You want to get down and just, you know, but inner peace. inner peace. You will not see that person again, so I forgive you. Amen.
Amen.
Guard your heart.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart.
Oh, yes.
Don't fight alone. You know, talk about these foxes and ask people to help you pray. I have this bitterness. I have this anger in me. It's killing me. It's killing every relationship that I've had. Help me pray. You are not alone. I'm having my own fox, so I understand how you feel. Amen.
Amen.
Stay connected to the vine. Christ is a true vine. So stay connected. Amen.
Amen.
It says the vineyard that blooms again. See, when we learn to forgive, relationships are restored. Friendships are healed. And when the church learn to forgive, ministry strive. There is togetherness. You see, this church is growing because of the love that we have for each other. I've been to many churches. You enter the church and you feel that dark cloud. I was in this church and I had so much dream about the church. Whenever I dream, I see this dark cloud on the church. And a sister I was praying with said, I'm seeing the same thing. You see, if there's love, there's forgiveness, some of these things should not happen. If you are a young person here, do not harbor anger in your heart because it grows. The only thing that you should help germinate is Christ in you.
Yes.
The glory of Christ is the only thing or the only seed that you need to water in your heart, not anger. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, the vineyard may be destroyed. But God is calling you to forgive so that he can cause restoration in your heart. All those years, the locusts have destroyed. But restoration is about to happen. Because you are going to forgive. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm done with the sermon I told you. I want you to close your eyes. Don't look at anybody. Just close your eyes. I wanted to do an altar call today, but I'm not. Wherever you are sitting, just picture the fox in your vineyard. You know your fox better than I know mine. So I want you to look at that fox. It's not just anger. Anything that goes contrary to the perimeter of God's salvation, anything that will destroy or is destroying your relationship with God, anything that is putting God's love for you in jeopardy, I want you to picture that fox. I want you to pray and ask God for forgiveness and tell God that you are praying upon your vineyard. He should show you all these foxes in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't talk. Just feel within your heart. Just feel within your heart. And tell God, restore what anger has destroyed in me. Don't talk. He sees your heart. He sees you. He knows you. God, I come before your throne. Forgive me. I did not know. Now I know. I am destroying my vineyard. I have destroyed. So for God, I want to forgive. We open our heart to you, O Lord. We open our heart to you. We did not know, and we allowed these diverse foxes. They have destroyed our vineyard, and they are destroying our vineyard. Because of this, oh Lord, relationships have been destroyed. Like Ahithophel, we could not forgive, oh Lord. Teach us and give us the desire to forgive so that restoration can be caused, so that restoration can be for the sake of our relationship with you in heaven. For the sake of our love for you, for the sake of our own growth, O Lord, teach us to forgive. You forgave the whole world, so teach us to forgive that one person, O Lord. Teach us, show us to forgive, because you, O Lord, are love. You are love. We want to love like you, O Lord. Teach us. Teach us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. I'll call my mother to pray for us. Let's continue to close our eyes.
Because you've been good to us. We thank you for your love. We thank you because you forgave us and you continue to forgive us. Such great a love. We come to say thank you.
Amen.
As a church father, we want to thank you this afternoon for reminding us of your commandment to us, a commandment to love. Jesus, even before you left your disciples, you gathered them and you instructed them to love each other. And you go on in your word, Lord, to say to us, that one who cannot love does not know God. This afternoon, we want to know you. We want to love. We want to be obedient to your commandment, Jesus.
Amen.
Because through love, then we can forgive.
Amen.
And we can forget.
Jesus.
In Corinthians, you talk again about love. That one that does not have love is just like a gong. Just makes noise. There's no depth. We repent of our sin, dear Heavenly Father. We have sinned against you. Wash us with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have fallen short of love. We have hated. And we have refused to forgive. But you continue to be good to us day in and day out. So we thank you as a church for hearing our prayer, for forgiving us, for washing us with the blood of your dear son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are our friend. Continue to remind us to walk right. Continue to remind us to do right. Continue to remind us to adhere to the commandments of our Father, to love one another as a church, in our families, as mothers, fathers, as husband, wife, as children, daughter to daughter to son. We love you, Father, because you have never left us. But as a father, you have always reminded us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is in operation in our midst. You are our best friend. You will continue to help us until we reach heaven. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for the job that you have done today. Thank you for the job that you are continuing to do in our lives. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Yes. So I've come to the end of my sermon. So it's very important that we forgive. That's our assignment for the week. Let's go and forgive everybody. Those who have sinned against us and those we know they are going to sin against us. Because of your future sin against me, I forgive you. I forgive you before you sin against me. Amen. Because it's very important. Look, Ahithophel hated David so much. But David had written so many psalms asking for forgiveness. God had forgiven David. And he killed himself. Amen. So, anger is not just an emotion. It's a test of character for the Christian. So, you either let it destroy you, or you let grace tame you. Amen.
Amen.